I tell you what, too, the water is rough when you first get in it. The water is, you have every ant that ever lived, and the dead ones, too, that came back, locked together and making a net on top of the water.
Every ant.
There is, and every giant cockroach and spider and you and every big mean bug you can imagine running on top of this net of red ants that's on top of the water. Because everything, like, for the first 20 minutes or so, until it all starts dying. There's chemicals in the water, they're going to start dying, but right when it first comes in, everything is right at the top of the water. And you got to go into this stuff. And it's like, oh man, you're getting bit up. And if you hit, they got, yeah. I mean, yeah, but at that point, you just got to go through the stuff and you survival mode, she is right. But I mean, and then they have ant balls under the water. And if you get hit by these, it's almost like your whole side's just bit to pieces because there's thousands of ants that just hit you at one time and they just all over you. So I mean, that's just, the water's rough at first going into something like that. And then, like I said, you're in whiteout conditions. We had, when the water came, we had a sustained wind at 127 and gusting at 145. You know, my friend David, he lives right on the 40 up in Canal. They got 20 feet of water in 2 minutes with a wind gusting at 185 with a sustained 145.
We had 10 minutes.
They got 20 feet in 2 minutes. That's 2 foot before the street lights. That's how high it got in 2 minutes time.
When people hear the name Katrina, they most often think of the hurricane that hit New Orleans in 2005. Hurricane Katrina made quite a name of herself. Peaking at 175 miles per hour, Katrina stormed over the Gulf of Mexico, creating massive damages along the Mississippi coast. The disaster was on every news channel for many weeks, but sooner than later, the hype subsided and life seemed to return back to normal.
NW Sports. Well, the first day of the World Cups is over, with host countries South Africa and Mexico playing to a 1-1 draw.
Gossip around town points that J-Lo and hubby Mark Anthony are having marital issues.
There is a lot of electric insanity going on here, but one of the things is 3D television.
Thea Andrews has the sexiest vampire to hit the big screen in years, and the phenomenon that is Robert Pattinson and Twilight.
We're lighting up the holidays with the Lindsays. 70,000 bulbs married to music. This is the pièce de résistance you're not going to want to miss.
A newborn miniature horse in Barnstead could lay claim to the title of smallest horse in the world. Einstein arrived yesterday morning weighing in just 6 pounds and measuring 14 inches in height. His breeder is reaching out to the Guinness Book of World Records, and as Adam Sexton reports, this Pinto Stallion could be a record breaker.
Many have forgotten what Hurricane Katrina was like. Michael, Rebecca, and Darren share their stories.
10 feet of water, and it was pretty damaging. Anytime you get any significant amount of water in your house, everything is ruined. Everything. So water just destroyed, especially salt water too, like this. So everything had to come out. We had about maybe a foot of mud, foot and a half of mud in some places inside the house. And, you know, all the ceilings, sheetrock, everything collapsed in because the water was, like I said, 10 foot high with 8 foot ceilings. Everything collapses down on top of that. So it's a little rough process, black mold everywhere. We didn't get power back here for 6 months, so we went without electricity for 6 months. Yeah, we went through the whole winter without electricity.
You know, they didn't really talk about St. Bernard being 100% damaged, but you knew when that eye came in, you knew that it was gone. And not only gone, I was supposed to take care of my family. And we didn't even have a home to go to. So we went to, I had a girlfriend call me. I was sitting on the steps at the hotel, and a girlfriend called me. And she says, why don't you come and stay with us? My mom called for my granddaughter, my daughter-in-law, and my son to go to North Carolina. And we went to North Carolina, but you gotta remember, there was no gas. Everywhere you went, you had an obstacle. You had a fight to get everywhere. And I was worried about the money, like how would we have money to go and travel that far? I know how long it took us to get there. And, well, I was sitting on the steps thinking about our new adventure. This lady come and handed me a $100 bill. From I didn't know her. God sent me an angel because he knew we needed the money. I guess he had watched me get into arguments. I would wait in line to get our food for breakfast at the hotel, and there was a lot of people there in the same shape we were, but they were people angry and bitten out at each other for absolutely no reason. And I was getting the waffles for my grandbaby, and he said, this man looked at me and he says, only one waffle per person. And I looked at him and I said, excuse me, sir. I said, I'm trying to feed my family just like you are. Can you give me a moment, please?
I walked to the kitchen area in my mom's house. And I walked to the front door and I looked out the front door and lo and behold, I saw cars floating down the street. Wow. Down the street. And I was going, God, what's going on? I couldn't believe my eyes. And I looked out the door and cars were beating up against the house. And I looked over my shoulder and water was coming through the windows. Well, then I said, well, I think it's time to go. I went up the attic and I bust a hole through the roof and sat on the roof for about an hour and a half. And me and my friends, there used to be a house on the backside of my mom's house. All right, they sold their house and got knocked down or whatever. And we had some boats, and the water got up to the telephone poles for a little while. Wow. To the wires of the telephone poles. Okay. Yeah, up there.
Crazy.
So, see where the wires are?
Yeah.
The first set of wires? The water got up to there for a little while.
And every plan you have in the middle of a storm like that, I mean, I had this thing planned out. I was not going to fail. You understand? Every plan you have fails. Every plan. I mean, unless you've been through it before, you think this is going to work like this, that's going to work like this happens, and I'm going to do this. Yeah, every single plan you have fails. I had two boats ready to go. I had the one that my neighbor left behind. I took it, ratchet strapped that thing down, and it was ready to go. I knew the wind wasn't going to mess with it because I had nylon ratchet straps on it. I had razor knives hooked to me. I had axes, chainsaws, hatchets. I was loaded down. I had everything in specific spots. I had all my windows boarded. I had generators ready to go. The generators went underwater. The boats didn't have plugs in them. They sunk immediately. The chainsaw blade was dull that I forgot to check because I was doing everything else. That didn't cut through the attic, so we had to swim out of the house. I mean, every single point.
This is just a fraction of varying experiences of Hurricane Katrina survivors. Hurricane Katrina is said to have been much more a political, social, and economic fault than a quote-unquote natural disaster. The inability or lack of willingness of government to enforce proper recovery techniques or to maintain critical infrastructure made Katrina victims hesitant to come back to Louisiana. Here is Tanya Harris, a community organizer and former executive director of ACORN in Louisiana, with more.
Let's not, again, return for poor people was not encouraged by the infrastructure items that weren't put in place. Public schools weren't reopened at a rate that was anywhere near what could invite people who have children. Who may not be able to afford private school, who may not be necessarily poor, but low to moderate income people, that the public school system wasn't inviting them back. Public housing being demolished and people being shut out of it wasn't inviting them back. Charity Hospital and a lot of the hospital, but Charity Hospital, which serviced a lot of our working poor people, wasn't inviting them back because it still ain't open and they're not going to open a hospital for another 10 years until they build another hospital. So those infrastructure items, not being in place, discourage a lot of people from actually. You're starting to see an emergence of a lot of condos, and they're not cheap. And I'm like, who in the hell can afford? There's like five of them I can think of offhand right now, just rattle off. Why are we building? Well, the city also knows, just like what happened in Lower Nine with the school that opened, because they kept saying they wouldn't want to open a school with low population. But when the school was built, it opened to maximum enrollment. And there's a waiting list to get into the school because if you build it, they will come. They're working on the same principle. If you build high-rise condos, people will come to fill them. You also open up different avenues. You also tend to create, when you start to talk about job creation and economic stimulation, in what vein is that being opened up? What is being, what major arteries are starting to be opened up in those areas? What are we pumping our resources and our time into revitalizing, and who are we trying to attract with that process? So it's not just what's not there, it's what is starting to be there to replace what was there, and also what are you creating that wasn't there before and for whom?
Mary Williams, the Program Manager for Community Outreach at the Deep South Center for Environmental Justice in New Orleans, tells us more.
After the storm, the center before the storm had about eight employees. And all of us were impacted by Katrina. My house is flooded. Everybody's house is flooded bad. I had about 5 feet of water in my house. And my husband and I evacuated to Birmingham, Alabama. And to be honest with you, I wasn't sure if I was coming back. Didn't know if I had a job. And I recall the conversations, finally talking to Dr. Wright. And at the time, she really didn't know what was going to happen with the center. And our worker training program is funded through the National Institutes of Environmental Health Sciences. And right after Katrina, there were so many meetings that she was going to there in D.C., congressional hearings and all those things. And she ran into a gentleman, Paul Renner, who's with the United Steelworkers. And they had this conversation about, okay, where do we go from here? What do we do? Do we rebuild? Do we just say forget it and move on? One of the things they talked about after Katrina is that it was this toxic soup. All of the contamination that came in from diesel fuel, contaminated sites like Ag Street Landfill, sewer, you just name it. It was all just mixed in there and sat for 2 weeks. So there was a major, major concern about the air quality, the soil quality, you know. So the Environmental Protection Agency said, yes, there was a way to clean up and remediate the soil. And the remediation process is basically taking, there was sludge, everything looked dead. The trees were brown, the grass was brown. It was the eeriest feeling just to come back into the city and just lifeless. No cars, you didn't hear birds chirping. It was like lifeless. And the first time I came back, which was like October of 2005, I'm like, I don't know if I want to go back to this, you know. But because of the type of work that we do, I had to. I just, you know, it was just in me to come back to try to do what I could to rebuild. And the majority of Dr. Wright's staff came back too. If we had the means to do it, we were back, you know, in the trenches.
The population has increased, but returning families, you know, you have situations where, like, in, for instance, again, I know Orleans Parish numbers very well. Around 2,000 households out of 7,000 households have returned to Orleans. That isn't the majority of the people coming back home. So, and for, I mean, that our neighborhood was the most damaged, right? But you have other neighborhoods that have kind of close statistics. And so we realize that people are coming in, not the people that were necessarily here before. I don't know how I feel about that. If you are poor, if you have limited access to certain things, if you are old, if you are ill, if you are not young and hip and not of color, stay where you are. We got this.
We are sick to death of being the rear end of the United States. You're hearing a lot about the oil spill. And you're hearing it in so many distorted ways that even the reams of seafood that we still have and the people that are still fishing are being harmed because you're not educated as to what's really happening. We have 8,800 square miles of dead Gulf out there. And it's not because of the oil spill. It's because of you. You dump everything in the world into the Mississippi River, and we catch it. It's called nitrates. They're all over the Gulf. It grows every year, and nothing lives under it. This will affect you. I guarantee it. That part of the news you can believe.
Moving forward and taking their kids' college fund and they're cashing in that 401 and taking whatever they had in the bank and rebuilding their house bit by bit with the help of volunteers and the grace of God helped them not to cry about what they lost.
Michael Kostick, crew member of St. Bernard Project and volunteer with AmeriCorps, shares his experiences.
It has been a great success. Personally, to be able to see the relief effort in helping people who have been living in FEMA trailers for the last 5 or 6 years in the front of their houses finally leave those dilapidated shacks and coming back to start the personal rebuilding of your life now that you have this groundwork of a home and a stable place. Another one of the good things that we've done here is we've done anywhere from knocking down a bathroom, we've put up countless pieces of drywall, we've laid yards and yards of insulation, we've put in bits and bits of hurricane straps to ensure that houses are much better protected in the future, and all of these tie together in a very fulfilling experience down here in the South and this wonderful place, the city of New Orleans.
I'm pretty optimistic about it too. I really do. I just see it as a clean slate for us to start afresh, start new. Our newly elected mayor had this transition team of about 14 different committees that came together to deal with. As a matter of fact, Dr. Wright was the co-chair of the environmental committee. To deal with crime, to deal with education, coastal restoration, you name it, blight, recreation, you name it, it was on there, which was really wonderful. And April 22nd, each committee went before him and made these recommendations. And one of the things that the environmental committee dealt with was retrofitting city government buildings, ensuring that policies were in place. One of the things, sometimes we get so excited and optimistic and, oh, we're going to green the city, but we have to make sure that it's equitable and affordable for everybody. And to make sure that if you start putting these policies in place to green your house as you're rebuilding, that it doesn't squeeze out the poor and working class. So things like that, we're just making sure. And that's from the environmental committee, but the blight issues, education, coastal restoration, which is, to me, should be our top priority, rebuilding the levees. But we do, I'm optimistic about it. I think we have a bright future ahead of us if we stay focused and we prioritize and do the right thing with the monies that's finally coming down. Yeah, I agree with whoever said, I think we have a bright future ahead of us.
This used to be Poppy's bedroom, which you heard of me talk about my bird. And we converted it to the bathroom. And by the way, Poppy lives with Shirley since the storm. He is her bird. They took him in. By the way, I had him for 25 years, and she took him. And he loves her. So, and he still loves me. Don't let him fool you, though. But this is going to be a bathroom. As you can see, this is old. This used to be a whole porch back in the 1900s that we converted into a room before for Poppy. Now we're going to convert it to a bathroom. And as you can see, we haven't done anything to this. So you can see the shape that it was in after Katrina. I still have to paint it and fix it. You can see it was in pretty bad shape. We've redid all these walls, how we got hurricane clips and straps. We put a wire mesh in here, and we still got more, a little more to do, but we still got to do our flooring, still got some floor doors to do, but it's, you can pretty much see that I still got to redo all this flooring before we can get the floors in like that. Still got to do the floor doors, but 80% of my framing has been passed. 80% of my electrical, everything that's been done on my electrical so far has passed. They looked at my looked at it 2 weeks ago, and he told me I had permission to close 2 walls per room and to leave 2 walls up. Only the ones that were completely finished with the electric. So, I mean, so I'm well on my way. It's not like it was.
What are you looking forward to doing once you get your house fully finished?
Sleep. Sleep for a day and a half. Not answering the door. Just being in there, you know, and I don't know. It's just exciting, and you guys don't know how much I appreciate all of you. You will never know what you mean to a lot of people down here in St. Bernard Parish, because without you, a lot of people would be in a very big hole. I can tell all of you volunteers, you're doing such a great service, you know, and I really appreciate you guys, you know, really from the heart. If a natural disaster ever happened to you guys, I would be one of the first there, you know. Really. I mean, you know, you guys are doing a wonderful job in there, I know that. Because that's heat in there. And I know a lot of you aren't accustomed to the heat, but really, I really appreciate you. Each and every one of you, you know.
Music in this program was provided by the Preservation Jazz Hall of New Orleans. Liza. In the evening, Liza.